This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Business Success Tips, where you can be enlightened about business and end all your suffering without committing suicide. It's awesome.
Suicide.
You don't want to do that. You'll take that mind with
you. Oh, yeah. What was that about? Yeah, the Buddhists say that if you die by suicide, this is starting very dark, this episode, that you basically, that's the mind you'll basically come back with.
Right.
Yeah. Wherever you were. It's a miserable moment. So if you want to relive this misery, then do it.
A happy baby.
Yeah.
I think we owe our listeners a URL from the previous episode.
Oh, yes. Well, and I put it in the episode notes, but no, please give it out. Okay. Yeah.
In case you can't read.
So for those who missed the last couple of episodes, you must listen to them. But Stephanie gave us the URL of dhamma.org. Mm-hmm. And then you can find the local Vipassana organization in your part of North America anyway on that site.
And Canada.
Yeah. North America and...
North America, I'm sorry.
The Canadian.
Spoken like a typical American.
I'm sorry.
It's like Latin America. Still
it's
America.
My biggest question,
what year did World War II start? Latin America, 1941.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not the invasion of Poland.
Pearl Harbor is when it started.
More importantly, what about a theoretical hockey game between the USA and Canada in the Olympics, which obviously wasn't that way.
Well, this was an interesting thing because...
I meant a final. That was the final?
It was, yeah.
Oh, that shows you how much I paid attention.
It was the final.
You know, when I said that, I figured I couldn't go wrong because of the chances that I was wrong.
The USA won the first match to get to the finals, and then Canada...
And then Canada put their foot down.
But here was the interesting thing from a dual citizen perspective. So, Joe Thornton, who plays for the Sharks, he was one of the top players in the league. He's born in Canada, but he's a naturalized U.S. citizen, right? But he played for Team Canada. So there's actually a clause in the Oath of Allegiance that you have to, absolve all, allegiance and loyalty to foreign princes and pontificates, except when it comes to hockey.
That's good. That's interesting.
And Canada won. Who did you cheer for?
I was cheering for Canada.
Before
it was naturalized. It was naturalized 2 weeks after the Olympics.
But it was also the San Jose Shark president.
That's true.
So what are we talking about this
week? We're talking about how to run your business from the present moment. And what that would look like.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we talked about last episode?
Not really. We didn't give any practice.
Is that what we talked about the last episode?
You're right.
I want fresh content. I demand fresh content.
No, I'm talking about practical aspects.
On behalf of our listeners.
I'm talking about the practical aspect of running your business for the present moment. Because I remember...
Can we talk about boobies too?
You can talk about boobies all you want.
I just want to talk about boobies.
That came from him,
though. Oh.
Wow, that's from him, sure.
I'm surprised.
That's right. There's an attachment there.
Trying to keep it interesting.
Sean's monkeys are getting restless.
White monkeys are very restless.
One monkey in particular. Anyhow, so I...
The southern monkey?
That's right.
You
might have wanted...
You shouldn't give me wine if you didn't want me to be...
So at one time, when I was trying to run businesses more effectively, I was listening to the radio. Listening to my tapes. And I would play one tape, which would be like... who's Mr. Positive Thinking Guy?
Zig Ziglar
or
Tony Robbins.
Which there's so many. I listen to Tony when you go, have your goal, visualize what you want, you know you can have it, be attached.
Awaken the giant within.
Be clear. You know, I was going, okay, $1 million.
You can do it too.
Okay,
I was focused on,
buy my book.
Visualize.
Make me rich.
Get emotionally committed.
That'll make you rich, sort of. I'm not sure how.
But I bought all the tapes, man. I bought all the Tony Robbins series.
And you...
Be attached. Be focused. Know what you want. And then I would flip over to Course in Miracles. Nothing means anything.
Right.
This is
no
all
attachment.
Illusionary. Do not be attached. Just let it go. It will all happen. God provides.
How very confusing.
And I'm going nuts. Because...
Then you're in the first...
Because I was going, how can I reconcile, focus, point, all this, absolutely know what you want, be totally attached to it. And the other side going... Just let it all go. God will provide.
Get it. I think it's funny because, like, if you look at, like, especially Zen Buddhism, and I've been reading the Tao Te Ching a bunch lately,
mm-hmm.
and, like, it's all paradoxical. Everything in it is paradoxical because that's what really gets you looking at everything from a different way because it is totally paradoxical.
Right. You know what's one of my favorite things about the Tao Te Ching is the story, which they say is true, is Lao Tzu, the scholar who basically penned he penned the book that he was stopped at the gates. He basically was like distraught and he was stopped at the gates as he was leaving. And he was asked to put down all of the wisdom that he had gained. And so he, like, did this in almost a maddened state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, interesting.
Yeah, no, I heard that same story. Yeah. But it's funny because I think, you know, the best thing that came out of there that I can't, you know, stop thinking about is be like water. Because water is the best teacher ever. Like, water, because water you can't destroy. It's totally, you know, least resistance. It will go, but it cannot be defeated. Because if you boil it, it becomes vapor and then turns back into water. If you freeze it, you know, it freezes, but then it turns back into water. And it can, you know, it makes canyons. We're 70% water. With the new book that they did with, you know, if you put, you know, love on, it changes the crystallization of water or, yeah. you
the
know.
Vibration.
Or,
and yeah. that was Bruce Lee's catchphrase.
Exactly, and that's what I remembered it from. Because when I heard it in the Tao Te Ching, I remember watching a Bruce Lee interview and he's like, be like water.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is the best statement that I can think of lately.
So businessmen should be like water.
Which is also about
like
fluidity.
Water,
you're fluid.
Yeah.
You're
fluid,
adaptable.
You're going with whatever. So
water won't fight you.
But let's go back to the laws of the universe that I learned in my Vipassana retreat that are important, I think, in this conversation. The first one was impermanence. And the second one, which I haven't mentioned, is whatever you reap, you will sow.
That's the old golden rule.
Right, but it's,
no, the golden rule is
it's a law of the universe, though.
Right.
It's a law of the universe.
Whatever you put out, you get back.
Whatever you put out, you get back.
Karma.
So I think that we should be able to put things out there without, like, we're still obligated to sow good seeds, but not have attachment to the outcome.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure I buy the whole, you know, the law, the what was the second one? Where you just let everything go and God will provide.
Right. That's right. That's it.
I can't really go that far with that. Because I still believe that we are, you know, responsible for showing up and doing our part. But having that, not having an attachment to the outcome, or having that attachment drive all of our decisions. Trying to, you know, being attached to controlling the outcome.
But there's a difference between participating and being attached. And JC brought up something earlier. In fact, I want to go back to the disparity between, you know, being focused.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the thing is, they can both be true at the same time. And one of the things that came out of that, if you ever read the book, The Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, one of those classic books, that you can have something true and not true. It was just Aristotle that made that up, that they can't be. And we bought that as a truth. Because Aristotelian logic, if you go way back, we define sanity as Aristotelian logic. He just made it up. And Aristotle said, well, something can't be true and not true at the same time. And we assume that as God is true. And yet, he just made it up. So what if we can change that? Say something can be true and not true simultaneously. Then that's sort of by definition going crazy. But that may be what you need to do to get to the other, you know, to actually get to the point of enlightenment you're talking about earlier. So, as I was saying, you can do that. That's why I reconcile those two things between focusing. Because you can totally focus on your goal. You can know exactly what you want. At the same time, you can be totally attached and say, God will provide no matter what I do. They can both be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that paradox is very freeing if you cannot get attached to, like, the concept of something that's either true or not true.
This is all very French. The movie, it's like a French movie. More
next
wine.
Thing he's going to do is surrender.
We were talking, I think, between shows about this concept of what's your motivation in business. And mm-hmm. in your case, I think you can look at two. You have two views of how your business is going to grow. One is that you are getting 100 customers.
Mm-hmm.
The other is you are going to have. Make 10 people each have 10 customers, right? And I think if the motivation is to get 10 people to have 10 customers, and that's a more of an altruistic
best motivation, at least for Dream Business Coaching, check it out today, the new company I'm launching, is that I know there's a lot of people out there who could use business coaches. And I know what gets in between them and the business coaches is the marketing issue. So if I can create a system to allow, you know, 1,000 businesses, these business owners, to connect with people that are really wise and intelligent and can help them, that's an awesome thing to do. In the process of doing that, other things happen, money shows up, whatever. But I think if you're doing it for the money part, it sure just shoots you in the foot. Whereas if you're doing it for how can I help 1,000 businesses do better because they're connecting with these people that really have a lot to give, and I just create a system to make that happen.
Well, how can you make those 10 really good business coaches more effective in their businesses?
Right.
So if your motivation is helping the companies and helping your coaches, then your success will naturally follow.
Right. And that's it's what I've learned in business. If you're motivated through making a difference to other people, like when I'm in a sales interview and in my heart of hearts I believe I'm helping that person out, whatever I'm trying to do for them, where they say yes or no doesn't really matter. If I can become detached from that and just really say I need to do what I need, because that way you're not worried about being rejected, you're not worried about making money, you're not worried about anything other than how to help that customer solve their problem.
We're going to take a break right here on Business Success Tips. We'll
right.
be back. We are talking about everything from Zen, the art of motorcycle maintenance, to Vipassana meditation, to being in the present moment, to
hockey.
And whether or not Steve will fight for the U.S. or Canada in a war.
And I'm sorry, I have to fight for the U.S.
If none of that grabs your attention, we'll come up with something else after the break. And we are back on Business Steps Tips talking about... Oh, wait, I forgot French cinema. We're also talking about French cinema and the nature of paradox.
So, paradox is a good thing. It stimulates the mind. And I believe the mind is a non-physical thing. I prove it to be
so. So what's the eye?
The eye?
Which eye?
Which eye? The eye is the ego eye?
I don't know. What's the mind is...
Never mind. You went way too deep there, man. He lost. This is a shallow show.
Go back to the boobies.
Let's go back to the boobies.
The guys in Scotland.
I was told earlier.
Christ.
Oh,
these guys are really
what
good.
What all these doing? Yeah. Faggots doing.
Right. It's true.
I signed on for some business.
So in business. If you can focus...
And there goes our homosexual demographic, thanks to JC.
If you can focus on serving others...
It's not a homosexual term. It's
a cigarette. It's a cigarette.
Cigarettes and just dumb people in general.
Got it. In the general.
Well,
there goes our dumb segment.
That?
We rely on dumb people to keep this show going, JC. And you're insulting
them. Did you see the South Park about faggots?
No.
They were like all the like motorcycle gags, like the Harley guys... They called them all fags. So that's what, like, so the homosexuals got upset for a second. And they're like, no, we're not talking about you. We're talking about those fags. Because the motorcycle guys,
No, no, I saw it. I saw that.
So.
Where are we?
If you're focused on service and not attached to the result, you'll do much better in business than if you're focused on money.
Right. Service to others.
You live your whole life that way.
I like businesses that are based on that, and I believe in that, and I follow that doctrine. However, I don't think that has jack shit to do with whether or not you're going to be successful. Some abjectly greedy people do very, very well.
How do you define success?
Aha!
Oh, well, okay. We're thinking about monetary gain here. Success is in the eye of the beholder. So right. It depends on what that person's definition of success is. Success to you is not the same as success to me or to the greedy guy, the Jack Abramoff, or the...
If that person is excited about their life and they're happy and they're peaceful, hallelujah, they're successful. I'll give them success.
So I'm just saying that doesn't really... The high-minded stuff, while we might sit around and say that's all wonderful, the person who we might perceive and judge, quite frankly, as being a very greedy person who's very selfish may still consider themselves successful.
What kind of karma are they creating for themselves?
Oh, I know about karma.
For this life and the next
life.
Listen,
if I could control their life, I would say, yes, do something.
I'm here about money, okay?
I'm just saying that in that person, I'm not saying that's what I want for them. I'm just saying that they may... So I don't think this high-minded thing being the right way...
We're
drinking too much Kool-Aid of our own.
In this life
it tastes so good, though.
It's so yummy. Jim, I love you, baby. Give me more.
They can be successful if,
do you think that any of those people are truly happy
Do you think anyone?
At times.
Yes, I do. I've met them. Yes.
I think they lead a life of highs and lows, right?
But in the end, do you think the net is that they're pretty happy?
Well, not as happy as anyone else.
The happiest person I met was Thich Nhat Hanh, who I think was a happy guy.
Yeah.
Chaka Khan, tell me that would be a feel for you. Chaka Khan. That?
No, Thich Nhat Hanh.
I ate there. They have the best dim sum.
Anyhow, your guru guy, who's happy?
Pragyananda
was good. Okay. Most of the happy guys I've met have been spiritual teachers and yogis. I think that's my experience. Of
who probably have very little attachment to any worldly
anything.
They're
just anything, crews. Right? They're just good.
So back to where I'm going with this is that the more entrenchment you have in material wealth and possessions and things and money and that type of material success, I think the more fraught that road is. And oh, I forgot one, celebrity. I think celebrities are among the most unhappy people.
That's been my life goal. I'm like, that looks like the worst lifestyle.
Well, you know who the happiest really? Celebrities I mean, are?
Like,
the ones that avoid the limelight.
Like yeah. Robert Redford
exactly.
or who else is like that?
Paul Newman kind of.
Paul Newman. Which, yeah.
Who ended up doing service to others.
Yeah.
I think there's happiness to be gained from service to others and designing, living your life that way professionally and
that's
personally.
That's what everything I've ever
But that has nothing to do with celebrity.
You know, no, but I'm just saying, though, that going back to what Paul was saying, that being a component for your business or a perspective that you bring to your business is not how is this going to help me, but how is it going to help other people is part of the path to your happiness. And it might be a universal truth. I don't know. I don't have enough experience. But that we all have something to be gained from that.
If the suffering is caused by attachment, I think you're much less attached if you're making a sale. If you're attached to making the money, it's a lot harder than if you're attached to helping the person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my experience is I find it easier to become detached from being of service because I'm either going to offer my service, they're going to take it, or they're not. And I'm only saying, look, you really need to do this because I can help you sell more stuff and I think that'll help your business. Do it or not. When I go, oh my God, I got to close this guy because I need the, you know, other $2,000 in my bank account, it's much easier for me to get attached to the money than it is to get attached to being of service. And I get to suffer either way.
Yeah, well, I think that also that having those sort of values and foundational values of your business are going to carry you through darker times more than just pure addiction to money or desire for money. That you have a high-minded ideal that's going to make it easier for you to, I think, stay on course over the lows and highs that happen. That's my experience.
The more you have, the more you have fear of losing what you have. I mean, if you have, you know, as in the Tao Te Ching, you know, if your storehouses are full, you have to worry about your storehouses being robbed all the time, you know. So there is that kind of side of, you know, if you have, like Larry Ellison, Jobs probably, you know, they got to worry about their kids being kidnapped. They got to worry about all their stuff. You have 10 houses. You got
shareholders. Bodyguards.
I mean,
aren't there people who are happy that have nothing? Why is happiness?
I think there's more people who are happy who have nothing, personally.
Yeah.
Because you have nothing. I mean, the less you have to lose, so to speak. I mean, really.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that what we're all saying here is that having stuff has not necessarily anything to do with happiness. That they are on different vectors.
No,
they have nothing to do with
you can have a lot of stuff and be happy, and you can have a lot of stuff and be upset. You can have nothing and be upset. You can have nothing and be...
There's no guarantee.
No,
but I think that that's a very hard realization for people is when they achieve what they consider to be with the success, and then they find out it was not the magic door.
I think with
many things, the answer is a little bit in the middle, right? Because I think that, you know, if you have a lot, you know, as you mentioned, you're a bit of a target. If you have nothing, you're sort of worrying about where the next meal is going to come from. And I think in the middle is probably the happy spot.
The middle class? I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you bring up a good point. I mean, you know, this country had a huge middle class, which is in the process of getting completely destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think that the middle ground is maybe the happy ground.
Well, I would argue.
You know, you're not worried about where your next
meal
is coming from, yet you're not worrying about...
But you know,
see, I would disagree with that, though. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it has to do with... None of that. It has to do with the individual person and their own spiritual work and attachments.
I think if you have what you think you need, you are happy.
It's the perception. It's only perception.
There's Bush people who have what we would say nothing, but they have food, shelter, and clothing that they're used to.
Community.
But it's, but it's also a function of where you came from. I mean, there are a lot of people that have been unemployed for a long time right now, and they're not very happy about it.
Okay,
right?
I just lost both houses.
I'm
still happy
about
it.
But you know what? You haven't changed your lifestyle.
But anybody could be that anomaly, though. This is the control of the mind part we're talking about. Is that the doorway to happiness is available to all of us if we're willing to do what it takes to do it.
Easier said than done, yeah.
By the way, that does not mean you have to eschew your desires for worldly possessions.
Yeah.
Because I'm like you. I like to be able to go up to Tahoe and ski and have a new car. I was talking about that in the previous episode.
Yeah.
But it's your relationship with those things. It's how deep does that go? How attached are you? Because that's going to control and affect your ability to be happy.
And isn't real happiness unrelated? Real happiness lives inside of us, regardless of our circumstances or situation.
To a point.
But let's though see that, like, because I think it's easy to judge, like, if we see the homeless person living on the street or the person who what we would like view as living beneath how we would want to live, and we can project onto them an unhappy life. But the truth is, I think that people can achieve happiness regardless of their circumstances. Just as I think you can achieve happiness with, you know, having all the money in the world.
Is a Jeffersonian. I mean, you know, so we live in a, I mean, in some ways, in a Jeffersonian society, right? Where part of the pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of economic
wealth,
not necessarily extreme obscene wealth, but comfortableness, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, we've all been born in the society where the definition of happiness is tied to economics. And so for us to kind of separate from that is a very difficult thing.
I ask you a question. Yeah. When you've had times and you've been happy and have you been suffered, right? We've all had.
Of course.
Okay, so can you think of any time when you were suffering that you were actually didn't have food, didn't have shelter, didn't have your basic human needs met, but you were suffering anyway because of something you projected, like fear of loss or something?
Absolutely.
Can you think of any time when you were happy, that the same thing was also true, right?
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with that stuff.
No, and I agree, but you know, it's everything is contextual in life, right? And, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are suffering right now economically, who are therefore suffering, but they don't have access to some of the thought processes that people in this room have.
Well, I will tell you, in my opinion, what's going to cause, and I think it's a positive thing, The deepening of the current recession we're in, I think it's going to get worse.
Of course.
You think the recession is going to get worse?
Yeah.
And what I think is happening is there was an attachment.
Maybe it's because we don't produce anything.
There's an attachment. Look at the attachment to owning your own home and making your house payments. Right?
Yes.
So for a long time, you had to own your home, the American dream, and make your house payments. If you don't make your house payments, you're going to lose your home and you're going to be a bad person. So what happens is people kill themselves, spend their life, do everything, can make their house payments so their house keeps going along. Then they come to that revelation. I had a client that said, you know what? I'm $100,000 upside down. I'm not going to stop making my payments. I really don't care. And then they stop making their payments and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. They don't go to hell. They don't, nothing. All of a sudden, my God, I'm not making my payments and I'm still here. And what's weird is the more people that do that in the neighborhood, the more the houses, which were artificially inflated in the first place, go to zero. Because everybody comes up with this, oh my God, I'm okay for my payments. And it's an illusion. But when people stop doing the illusion, like, you know, the king's whatever was closed, everybody realizes, I cannot pay my house payments and I'm still okay.
Right.
Then what happens to the value of the houses that they were killing themselves for to make these huge payments and the mortgages and all that sort of financial fantasy, it collapses. Because the only reason our house was worth more is because somebody wanted it and somebody else wanted it. And it just goes up insanely, especially in California. But you watch in neighborhoods when the first person goes, oh my God, I'm doing my house payments. And they're okay. And then the next person, oh my God. And then what happens to the value of all those houses in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fantasy land.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that people, when they realize, that's what's going to cause, I think, in a sense, the recession to deepen in a way, is we've just begun that.
Right.
It's just started to be okay. short sales are okay, foreclosures are okay, what used to be considered
the absolute, bane of existence, right? You would be a pariah.
Oh my God, I lost my house. I'm gonna die.
Right, who in this room right now doesn't know somebody who's had a house foreclosed on them in their circle? Right, yeah, nobody. We all know somebody. I know multiple people.
I realize that my credit score is not going to be tattooed on my forehead.
Well, you know what's...
one's going to know.
You know what's really...
So it doesn't matter what it is.
What is totally insane is I did bankruptcy. Yeah. I lost two houses and wiped everything out. And I applied for rent. My credit score was 690.
Wow.
And I went, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Oh, so that's an illusion, too.
Well, I mean, it's fantasy land. It's like illusion. It's entirely an illusion.
I will hate to leave it on an odd note, but we are out of time. We are once again a little bit over. So.
But we'll be back in another week. Don't worry about it.
That's right. See you, everyone. Thank you, as always.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
LexNet Consulting Group is your one-stop resource for a selection of award-winning CRM, email marketing, and business intelligence solutions. LexNet serves small to mid-sized companies across the Western U.S. from our offices in the San Francisco Bay Area, Southern California, and Seattle. LexNet's tailored business solutions are designed to increase revenue and reduce costs. LexNet will help you develop a consistent sales, marketing, and customer support approach to drive your company's revenues, even during tough economic times. Every business has unique needs, and LexNet will help you meet those needs with customized, integrated solutions that give your business easily accessible and actionable information. To find out more about the powerful and effective business management solutions that LexNet offers, please visit lexnetcg.com, where you'll find helpful resources including articles, white papers, industry news, customer success stories, and informative podcasts like this one. While there, be sure to sign up for our Customer 360 newsletter filled with CRM and email marketing news, tips, and tricks. LexNet, your partner in business success.